want to talk about the faithfulness of God today. Hallelujah. You know, there's one who is faithful. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. There's one you can trust in. And, you know, it may not be your husband. It may not be your wife. But you can trust in Jesus. Even if there's nobody else, you know, it's you and Jesus. Hallelujah. You can trust him. He's an awesome king. He knows what he's doing. And he gave a word to Jeremiah, I want to start off with, and about his faithfulness. And, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, it was all about the children of Jerusalem being taken into captivity. And this is what the Lord said to through Jeremiah. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. And is this not the faithfulness of God talking to a bunch of people taken into captivity because they were rebellious and hard-headed? You know, they were hard-headed people. They were stiff-necked. And now they're being taken into captivity. But the Lord is letting them know, look, I love you guys. You're a special group of people. And the Lord was letting them know that I have a future for you, and I have a hope for you. And I'm going to deliver you from yesterday because I have a different tomorrow I want to lead you into. Hallelujah. What a wonderful word to all of us. I want to deliver you from yesterday because I have a different tomorrow that I want to lead you into. And that's what we're going through. Amen. And I remind the Lord, Lord, we're living in a war zone. But thank God he's my shield. Praise God. And so this was written to the captives being taken out of Jerusalem. And the children that were going into captivity, first there would be a huge disturbance. First, there'd be a huge turmoil. And, you know, we got to look for the voice of God in the midst of things that happen in our lives that are, you know, out of the norm. Amen. When everything begin to rock the boat, what's rocking the boat? Where are these waves coming from? And, you know, it's good to pay attention to what God is speaking to us when things happen out of the ordinary, when things begin to disturbances come along that are out of the normal, everyday routine that we're used to, a turbulence outside of the natural order of things. And oftentimes the Lord wants to speak something to us through those turbulences. And so the first group of captives that were taken from Jerusalem, we read about them all the time in the book of Daniel. It was Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego. But we never touch on the second group of captives that were taken out of Jerusalem. And that's what I want to do today. I just want to touch on them and on the faithfulness of God. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, now it came to pass, this is the beginning of the second wave of captives that were taken, in the 13th year of the fourth month, and I believe they're talking about the 13th year of the fourth month after the first wave of captives were taken. This is the second wave. And on the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw a vision of God. And I want you to pay attention to those last two words. Ezekiel saw a vision, not from God. He saw a vision of God. And so when you're trying to figure out what this vision is all about, he already told you, it's a vision of God. Hallelujah. And so we're going to briefly look at Ezekiel's vision. And you know, it seems out there. But first of all, I want to say that Chebar was about 200 miles from the city capital where Daniel and his friends were. Daniel and his friends were in the citadel and 200 miles away. Now the second lot of captives land, and Ezekiel's their prophet and their priest, and they land there, and he sees a vision of God. And so we know what the vision's about before we start reading about it. And so before our minds start working in, and we got this big long doctrine of phoniness, and before we realize, oh, he's seeing the vision of God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read verses 4 and 5. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with a raging fire engulfing itself. Now, how many doctrines have come out of a verse like that? Oh, the great bear is going to rise up out of the north. And this was no great bear. This was God. God was coming, and he was coming to the captives. Can you imagine? Let's talk about the faithfulness of God. Amen. Here were these captives, and God had sent them away. Hallelujah, because they turned away from him. And this is the faithfulness of God. God's coming, and he's coming. There's a great cloud. Can you picture this in your mind? A great cloud, and inside this great cloud is a raging fire. And I can see great beams of light shining through the cracks in the cloud. And it was radiating out this light, but it was engulfing itself. It was imploding, not exploding, but imploding. And so it was within itself, pretty interesting vision this man was having in the midst of, let's continue on. It engulfed itself, and the brightness was, let's go back. Thank you. And the brightness was all around it, radiating out of its midst, and the color was of amber, and out of the midst of the fire also, from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the appearance of a man. And so not only was this whirlwind was coming, and it was a raging fire. Now, out of this vehicle, I guess that's what it is. Hallelujah. I want to get me one of those. No, not really. I'm just joking. But out of this whirlwind come four living creatures. Amen. And so, what a day. Amen. Can you imagine your day starting off like this? And I know most of us would say, if we just met Ezekiel and he's telling us this, we would say, did you take your medication this morning? And I'm sure that's what we'd be thinking. But that's what our family says about us. You know, they miss their medication. They believe in something that's invisible. They're believing in something they can't see with their natural eyes. And so, but here was Ezekiel, and he was having quite an experience. And you know, the book of Ezekiel opens up with this vision. It's a spiritual vision of heavenly things. Amen. And a picture really of the fierceness of God. And it's coming. He's coming like a whirlwind. And the book of Ezekiel opens up with a vision, revelation. And no doubt this experience was given to bring a spiritual education to Ezekiel. Amen. He was a prophet and a priest. And what's a priest do? Well, they go through their rituals. And they do their daily chores, and they perform their formulas, and I almost am tempted to say their dead formulas. And you know, the life of a priest was they went through and did their mundane services in the temple, things that needed to be done. And now Ezekiel was called, and he was a priest and a prophet, and now he was getting a spiritual education. And men who minister spiritual things to other men have to first have a vision themselves. You know, you first have to taste before you can give out. Amen. And so here was Ezekiel. He's a spiritually being awakened up. He was a priest, and that only performs dead formulas. And, you know, about religious business. And how can anyone minister first without experiencing the divine? How can you tell people about being born again unless you've been born again? Amen. And so now Ezekiel was gaining some wonderful experience, maybe past all of us. And it was a defining day when the priest Ezekiel was exalted to this level of prophet. I think it was an elevation, although they're both equal in blessing of the Lord, priest and prophet. And but here, now he is being elevated to the place of prophet. And how can a seer minister the things that he sees unless he sees something? You know? And so now Ezekiel was a seer, and he was really being used of God. And no one can speak the things of God unless he's heard from God. And if you want to be a public speaker, you're going to have to learn to have some quiet hours alone with the Lord. Because any life that comes out of public speaking comes from someone's been alone with God. Someone's been communing with him. Someone's been having communications with him. And that's what Ezekiel had been doing. Suddenly, you know, he was given this vision of God, and he was a captive. He was banished from his home, but he wasn't banished from God. That was a wonderful thing about this. He was surrounded by men who were filled with, what would those men be filled with? Anxiety, stress. There were their wives and their families. They're all in captivity. Amen. Some of you have been taken captive for a moment through this terrible cold that's been out there. Keep fighting. You're not going to be a POW for long. God's going to deliver you from that thing. Hallelujah. How many things come along in our life that want to take us captive? Wow. It never ends. Hallelujah. And here was Ezekiel, and he was called to be a captive. Thank you, Lord, for my calling. Hallelujah. Every calling's different. And, you know, and some are wishing or hoping they get a call to Hawaii to start a work there on the beach. And other people, you know, they get called into captivity where the captives are. And it's interesting to know that the Lord manifested himself among the captives. They were his children. And they might have been captives, but they belonged to God. And God wasn't leaving them alone. He wasn't handing them over. He was going with them because there was something he wanted to accomplish in them. He was taking them out of yesterday, and he wanted to bring them into tomorrow, the tomorrow that he had created. Hallelujah. And thank God we have a God that cares about us, that loves us. And so this vision of God was a spiritual scene. A heaven of the heavenly realm, and